Amen. Thank you very much. It's so very good to be here with you again. I shared with the adult Sunday school class that this is the seventh Round Robin Bible Conference. Began all the way back in 2013, and it's a joy and a privilege for me to be here again with you. We're no strangers to each other. We're just down the road a piece, that's all. But this is New England, so when people say, "Where are you?" I say, "You can't get there from here." All joking aside, it is a joy and a blessing to be here together with a group of saints who love the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's a blessing to my heart to be gathered together with a group of saints who've come together on the first day of the week. We've set apart this first day, the day the Word of God tells us Jesus Christ arose from the dead. He arose on the first day of the week. And if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are living proof that Jesus Christ is alive. And He's brought us together as, well, living stones, built upon the living stone, Jesus Christ, who is the solid rock. And that's the name in which I greet you this morning. I bring to you joy and greetings from Crossroads Bible Church. We're thankful for this assembly, for your ministry to churches in this area, and we rejoice. I rejoice to gather together with you, and I do want to look into God's Word as we consider my theme for the Round Robin Bible Conference, the thoughts of the righteous. So would you turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 12? Did I already say that? Proverbs chapter 12 is where I'd like to begin. In verse 5, Proverbs 12 in verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. And I would like to again look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's a privilege to continue in prayer, but we need your guidance. We need your instruction. We thank you for the ministry of the Spirit of God to open the eyes of our heart, that we might understand, and may we attend, Father, to that responsibility that we have to obey the word of truth. We look to you now for your blessing, for your instruction, that we might be built up in our most holy faith. And for this, Lord, we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Your thoughts are very, very important. Your thoughts identify who you are. And we're going to look at that a little bit this morning. By the way, in our Sunday school class, if you can just tie together the importance of the knowledge of the Holy One together with this understanding, your thoughts identify who you are. That's who you are. Our thoughts are very private, aren't they? By and large, nobody knows what you're thinking until you let them know. It's something that's very personal to you. And we're all very different. We all think uniquely and in different ways. To some managers, that causes them to pull out their hair. To other managers, it's an opportunity to bring together and find multifaceted approaches to getting a task or a job, whatever it is, done. We all are very different, individual, unique, and we think differently. But what we think about determines who we are. Our thoughts, what you are thinking right now, is establishing what you are becoming. I'll show you that this morning from God's Word. And so your thoughts are very, very important. Some of us are very aware of that. We like to think our thoughts are so private, nobody knows. Well, that's not true. When we speak, we reveal our thoughts, don't we? But that's not all. Your actions reveal your thoughts too. And no matter how hard you try to bottle your thoughts up, if you don't want others to know what you're thinking, sooner or later, because your thoughts are shaping who you are, your actions will reveal to others exactly what you are thinking. Every parent knows that. Every parent does. As your children grow and develop and mature, and you see what they do, you get a little bit of an inclination of what's going on in their mind, because our actions reveal our thoughts. But God knows our thoughts. God knows your thoughts intimately before you say or act to ever reveal your thoughts. And so our thoughts, though they may be personal to us, the truth is they're personal to us and the God who created us. He knows the thoughts. He knows the intents of our hearts. And so for the child of God, we need to be very, very careful about what we think. We need to be very, very careful to think rightly. In Sunday school, we talked about the importance of thinking on things above. Though I didn't use those words, we want to think about God Himself and allow truth from God's Word to shape our thoughts. It's very important that God's Word shape your thoughts. And you should be very careful not to let your thoughts shape God's Word. Sadly, that's the way a lot of people approach this book, the Bible, God's Holy Word. They bring their thinking to the Word of God, and they try to shape the meaning of the Word of God based on their thinking. That's a very foolish thing to do. God has spoken, and He has recorded His Word for us, and we want to just read it. Just let it say what it says, and let it open your heart, and let it shape your thinking, because it's divine truth. We need God's truth to live pleasing to Him, to understand and to know the world in which we live. We should be very, very careful to think on things that are above, and we should be very, very cautious not to allow this world and the wisdom that is in this world to shape our thinking as believers. It should be God's Word and God's truth that shapes our thinking. Now, the wisdom that is here in the book of Proverbs is written by Solomon. He was one of those, like many ancients in the Old Testament, who sought out principles that helped one, taught one, to lead a skillful life, how to live well, to live responsibly, to live avoiding the pitfalls and the snares that exist in the life that we live. And these are compiled not only by Solomon, but also later on, the kings of Israel, like in the days of Hezekiah, compiled more of Solomon's wisdom, wisdom that God divinely gave to him. God gave him wisdom when he asked that he might have an understanding heart so he could rule God's people well. God was pleased with that prayer request and answered that prayer request abundantly. And Solomon wanted to communicate the wisdom that God gave to him, especially to his children, that they might learn to live rightly. And you cannot live rightly apart from a relationship with God and apart from the knowledge of who God is. You need to know God in order to live rightly. Why? Because, well, we're full of sin. We're born into this world with a sinful heart. Solomon's father David, King David, understood that and spoke about being brought forth. He was born into this world shaped with iniquity, sin. Sin is our nature. We have a sin nature and a tendency to sin because we are fallen in sin. And every person who's born, except for one person, God, who became flesh and was born to the Virgin Mary, every other person is born with a sin nature. We reveal that, by the way, in our thoughts and in our words and our actions. And we show that we are sinners, and God has sent forth His Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins. God's provision of salvation is in Jesus Christ. And a person who's wise is looking to God, who's looking to God for His provision of deliverance from sin. We have found that deliverance now to be in God who became flesh. We understand the full truth of it in the gospel. It is Jesus Christ who died for our sins and was buried and rose again, and whosoever believeth in Him can have eternal life. God's provision of life. You cannot live wisely in God's estimation of wisdom without having a relationship with God. Jesus Himself said that this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent, the second person of the triune Godhead, Jesus, the Son of God. It is through Jesus Christ alone that we have salvation. And to know Him is not just information. It is to have a relationship through faith in Jesus Christ. Here's where we begin. And then we begin to learn about God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. With that little basis, I'd like to look at four principles of righteous thinking in the book of Proverbs. Four principles that we find. And the first one is right here in our text, chapter 12 and verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right. What is wisdom in our thought life? The righteous think thoughts that are right. This word right literally means judgment. The thoughts of the right are judgment. And the word judgment here means to pass judgment. A judgment between what is right and what is wrong. A judgment between what is good and what is bad. A judgment between what is righteous and what is wicked. Righteous people are always evaluating, may I use the word discernment? They are always making discerning judgments on what is right, what is good, and what is wrong. Why? Well, because the righteous are pursuing wisdom. And in pursuing wisdom, they want to live life God's way, in accordance with God's will. And we live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a world that has its own wisdom that actually has a very satanic influence behind it, has a very satanic reality and substance to it. There are things in this world that go beyond the ability to just explain by natural circumstances. The world calls it the paranormal. And they get all tangled and confused about all kinds of funny things, mixing the things of this world with the paranormal, becoming superstitious and being led to ignorance and foolishness. But there's something to it. There's something very powerful to it because it makes sense. It makes sense. It agrees with what we see in this life. It seems to make perfect sense. And it also appeals to fallen, sinful human nature. When I hear these things of wisdom in this world, well, I like that. It sounds good. It makes sense. Oh, and it makes me feel good, too, when I do it. Well, how do I know if it's right or if it's wrong? That's a very important question to ask. The righteous are asking that question every day, all the time. The thoughts of the righteous are right. Their judgment, they're discerning. They're asking this question, is that good or is that bad? Is that right? Or is that wrong? That's what the righteous are thinking about all the time because the righteous have made a decision by God's grace. I want to do what's right. I've purposed to honor the Lord and to honor Him. Now, how do we know what is right and what is wrong? Did you ask that question? I guess I asked it, didn't I? Do you ever ask that question? Have you ever asked any question like that? Well, how do I know if it's right or wrong? How do I know? Is it good or bad? If you've ever asked that question, if you've ever thought it, more than just being wise to think about it and ask that question, do you know that you are asking the most relevant question, one of the most relevant questions to our culture right now in 2019? And if you get the right answer, you are more relevant to our culture than you realize. Because our culture does not know what's right and wrong. Now, they won't say that. But having rejected belief today that there is even a God, atheism is on the rise. Agnosticism is prevalent all around us. And indifference and just blind caution that says, how could we ever know, is everywhere about you. All about you in your families, in your neighborhoods, wherever you go to school and learn at whatever level, secondary, elementary, whatever level of education that you're involved in, your places of employment, people are floundering in a morass of ignorance in America today of what is right and what is wrong. And the reason is because they threw away the foundation of what is right and what is wrong, a belief in God. Follow me. They're in a quagmire. Now, they don't think so because as soon as they threw away any kind of a belief, you know, psychology and philosophy are two of the main. They're not the only ones. Evolution has pervaded all of the sciences. Even mathematicians today don't see the order and amazing design in math, sadly, to point to some marvelous hand that fingerprint is everywhere you look in math. In every one of these areas of education and learning, we've jettisoned any thought of God, that there's a creator, that there is some infinite and eternal God, who, by the way, is a personal, loving, holy God. The list goes on. They've thrown that away, so they threw away the foundation. But they don't think they don't know what's right and wrong. They think they know exactly what's right and wrong. For instance, I'll just give one example. I'm not going to take on sociology and go through what man considers to determine what's right and wrong today. It's all flawed once it departs from God. I'll show you that from God's Word. But man thinks, well, here's a safe one, here's easy. Your rights end where the next person begins. Is somebody sitting next to you today? Are you sitting next to someone today? Husbands and wives, you know. Neighbors, you know. Well, you can't do that. Why? Because you'll hurt someone. And it's wrong to hurt someone. Well, that's right. Don't get lost with the words. That's right. But it's not right because you hurt them. That's not what makes it right or wrong. What makes it right or wrong is God says so. And in this blessed book, I read words like, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. I read words like, and the second commandment is like to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's why it's right or wrong that my rights end where the next person begins. Our culture's lost any sense of that. And as proof of it, we now have growing up in our culture today people who could care less about your rights. They don't care. They'll shoot you for whatever ideology they have embraced. It's on the rise, isn't it, today? Everybody looks and says, that's bad. We don't have any trouble discerning bad when we see it. Not usually, for the most part, except for a clouded, deluded, or a debilitated mind. We don't have trouble when we see evil, wickedness. Why? Because we're brilliant? Our culture would like to tell you so, but I'm here to tell you Romans chapter 1 says God gave you a conscience. God gave you a conscience. And when someone tells you what's right and someone tells you what's wrong, in your heart, unless you ignore it enough that you're just going to close the door and slam the door shut on your conscience, some people do that, you know. That's terrible. That's wrong. How do you know? Well, the answer to the question is very important. The answer of what is good is based on the very nature and character of God. God is good. His Word says so. By the way, if God is not good, He's not God. And I'm here to tell you for just one little personal testimony, God is so good. I hope you found that out. Come to Him and you'll find out God is good. His love is like no other love you'll find anywhere else. And so is His judgment. It's right, because God is good. We read in the Word of God, you do not need to turn there, in Psalm 136, verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is... Oh, you know that one. Blessed are you. You can find that statement throughout the whole of the Bible. Lots of places. God is good. And good does not define God. God is the definition of good. He's good. Everything that is like God is good. And that which is opposite of God is bad. Now, I know some of you want to think about that one, but take the time to think about it. Because I'm here to tell you, if you have a hold on that simple little principle, you are more relevant to our culture than all the mathematicians, all the physicians, all the scientists, all the archaeologists, all the historians. Dig it up. Look at it in the microscope, telescope, search it out, study it out, find it out. It will not help you as much as this. God is good. He's the good God. Help me, Lord. And He's willing to do that. God is good. And He's the definition of what is good and right and holy, because He is holy. So if you want to know what good is, do you know where you have to turn to find out what's good? His Word, the Bible. Because this book is the revelation of who God is. Your Bible tells you who God is, and so it thus reveals to you what's good and also what is bad. If you have that, you are very relevant to our culture. You say they don't want to listen to me. Well, maybe. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. That's not yours to worry about. It's yours to tell them. Well, they won't like it. They'll get mad at me. They're going to get mad at you for a whole lot more than that. You can do everything right and they won't like you. So get past that one. When you stand up and say, that's wrong. Why? Because God says so. Yeah. Psalm 19 and verse 8 tells us that the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. God's word is right. God's word is good. How do we know what's good and bad, what's right and wrong? The answer is the knowledge of God, which is revealed in His holy word. And so, yes, simple believers had it right from the beginning. Get into the Word of God. And no matter what our culture says about, well, that's not good. How can you know? I can't accept that. I can't believe it. Do you believe in God? No, I don't believe in God. Where are you living? What are you looking at? What do you see? Are you paying attention to this world in which you live? Everywhere you look, there's a testimony to an awesome God who is all-powerful. And He's revealed in His Word, the only book He's ever written that's been written down, Genesis to Revelation, the Bible. He's revealed all about His will, His ways, who He is. He tells us what He likes, what He doesn't like. God's Word is good. Look at Proverbs 16 and verse 20. If you stayed in Proverbs, just a couple pages over, Proverbs 16 and verse 20. Now remember, I said earlier, in our Sunday school class, this is Hebrew poetry, couplets, two thoughts. And watch these two thoughts in Proverbs 16:20. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find... Oh, okay, yeah. You handle something well, wisely, skillfully, and you'll find good. That's why the wise seek wisdom, because they want to live life well, and they want the blessings of life. That's what they want. They seek God's blessing. Now the second half of that verse. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. I believe God. I trust in Him. Yeah, that's what the wise do. And it's because I trust in God, what do I find? Good. Because God is good. And everything He says in His Word is good. Now if that's too simple for you, if that seems so simple and said, boy, I thought he was going to get into something deep. Are you sharing that with people around you? Do you tell people in your family, in your neighborhood, in your place of employment, in your place of education? Are you telling people that God is good? Well, they get pretty, you know, worked up about that. You can't say that anymore. Really? That's the most important thing to say. One of them. God is good. And I'm obeying God's word. Why? Because I want to honor God. Oh, well, we don't believe in Him anymore. Oh, I'm sorry to tell you, I don't think that's going to work well for you. I'm here to tell you it's not working well for our culture. America is in trouble. Well, because we don't have conservative leaders. Nonsense. That's not the problem. And if you think that we can just fix it by electing one, that's going to fix it, you're wrong. It's because we've thrown away the truth of God. Now, that doesn't mean we have to despair. God doesn't call you to fix our culture. God tells you to live your faith in Him. And He wants to use you as a light to our culture. And let me tell you, He will, if you have a handle on this. You know, the righteous are living, discerning all the time what is right, what is wrong. And it's a matter of spiritual maturity to be able to discern and know. And what's mature is to know about God. Learn more of Him. Learn more of His Word. People say, let's go do this. I don't want to do that. Why? Because it'll be displeasing to the Lord. That's what the righteous do. They discern all the time what's right, what's wrong. And they choose to do what pleases and honors God. Well, I'll stick out to the world. But you know, it's an amazing thing. If you obey God's word, you may stick out in the world, but you're just uniting yourself to God's holy will. What better place to stick to? Because if I stick out because I'm sticking to God, think about that. Isn't that a wonderful thing? There's blessing there. The wise know that. And the opposite is worse because in the book of Isaiah chapter 5, God was very upset with the nation of Israel. He revealed himself to them. He made promises to them. He gave his word to them. And they got it all wrong. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, God upbraided the nation of Israel. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Do you know God hates that? Woe, his judgment is to look at what's wicked and to call it good. God's judgment is on those who look at what is good and call it wicked. But there's all kinds of pressure on God's children today to do that very thing. We've got to be loving. Well, we should speak in love. God's word says, speak the truth in love. That's very important, to speak the truth. Not to speak the word argumentatively, not to speak the word in a combative way, mean-spirited way. Speak the truth in love. But speak the truth, God's truth. And God will use it, and his blessing is upon it. Because his judgment is upon those who take that which is evil and they call it good, righteous. And our culture is doing that very thing right now. All kinds of things. Number one, the first thought is the righteous are discerning. Go to chapter 12 again in verse 15. The second thought of the righteous that I want to share with you today. First of all, the righteous are always making judgments. What's right? What's wrong? They're discerning. In chapter 12, verse 15. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The righteous receive wise counsel. They think about, they choose to think about wisdom. They look for wise people and they seek their advice. That is what righteous do. They don't turn aside at a rebuke or words of wisdom when another's ready to give them. They're willing and they're open to receive it. Oh, but my feelings will get hurt. That's what our culture, that's a worldly wisdom that our culture spews at us today. Love yourself. If you don't love yourself, you can't love others. Really? That's a good thing to think about and ask yourself. I know this. God says in his word, this is what's good. Put others, esteem others better than yourself. God says that. So that's good, and that's right. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about people who have problems with negative thinking about themselves. God's word has lots to teach about character and learning how to build your life with good, godly principles of discipline, hard work, diligence. Don't be lazy. The word of God is full of things that build strong character. And those things are important. We're not talking about when our culture talks about people of a destructive view of themselves or anything like that. I'm just saying the way to get from a destructive view of yourself is not to love yourself. That's not the way you do it. And God's word says that we should love others better than ourselves. That's good. And so what do? When someone comes with counsel, we receive it. This is good. If I want to first of all evaluate principle number one, is this righteous? Is this holy? Is this good counsel? Is it wise? If it is, I need to take it and let it find a place in my life. Because that's what the righteous do. They receive wise counsel. That means they don't say these words, don't tell me what to do, I can do it on my own. Now, by the way, maturity and development says you want to get to the place where you can do it. But a person who is righteous, they don't think that way. They think this way. Thank you for your counsel. I want to evaluate it because I need it. I need the help of others. That's what the righteous do. They receive counsel. Principle number three, notice please in chapter 15, Proverbs 15 and verse 28. Number one, the righteous are discerning. They discern and think about what's good, bad, right, wrong. Number two, they receive wives' counsel. The third principle that I want to bring to your attention this morning in Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Now, in the book of Proverbs, thoughts and words are very closely associated with one another. They're related, they're connected. You cannot think without words. Try it. No, really. Some people deny that today in our culture, I know, because you have emotions and you can feel things, and some people relate feelings with thinking, and there's a connection there. I'll admit that, how closely our feelings and our thoughts are connected with one another. I can't divide them apart, but God does, and His Word does, and I know that you cannot think without words. God created language. He created the ability to communicate, and He uses words to communicate. And thoughts come from your heart, and we use words to think thoughts. That's what we do. If that's difficult, just find a philosopher and ask him how that works. All I want to tell you is thoughts and words are so closely connected that as you study the book of Proverbs, whether you're looking at your speech, your words, or whether you're looking at your thoughts, you'll see those two principles coming in close together. Words, thoughts, words, because they're united, they're connected. But I can't talk about words, that's Pastor Willette's, and so I have to be very careful. I have to stick with the thoughts. But they're connected, thoughts and words. Here, in our third principle, the word studies, the word the righteous studieth a matter, means literally to meditate, to think upon. It's to ponder the matter over and over. The righteous ponder the matter over and over. They think about it. They take time. They don't, notice the second half of this couplet is an opposite, they don't shout things off the top of their head or say things off the top of their head. Now, this is a verse I have to work on. Ouch, this one gets me. I hear something and I speak without thinking, and that's a foolish, ignorant thing to do. The righteous ponder it. They meditate upon it. Can you give me a little time? I'd like to think about that. I'd love to look into God's Word. I'd like to talk with someone wise about that and get some counsel, because the righteous studieth before they give the answer. That's what the righteous do. They meditate about it and they study it out. Now, where do you think a righteous person goes to meditate the situation, the puzzle, or the problem, or the concern, the event that's taking place in their life? Where do you think the righteous go? I'm glad you asked. Turn to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13 and verse 13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be what? Rewarded. Do you respect? Do you have a healthy awe and respect for God's word, such as you go there to find the answer and then apply it to your life in faith and obedience? You're wise if you do. That's what the righteous do. They go to the Word of God. Hey, how would that be in your family the next time a problem came up? You said, let's open the Bible and let's find out what God says about it. That's the righteous, wise thing to do. But you know that a lot of Christians today have lost that skill? We're so bombarded with worldly philosophy and psychology that we've heard in television programs and we've seen in movies and we've heard from our neighbors and our family. We've read it, we've been taught it, and we don't go to God's Word to find anything out. And so we suffer when we don't find the answer from God's Word. But you know what the righteous do? They take their thoughts and they dive into the Word of God and they ponder it. They meditate it. They look for the answer from God's holy word. In Proverbs 30, verse 5, we read in the book of Proverbs, every word of God is pure. All of them. Every single one. And the Lord Jesus Christ really answered this question of inerrancy. Well, I can't trust this word or I can't trust that word. Jesus said, referring to the original documents that were written by Peter, Moses, those originals, He said, not one jot nor one tittle will pass from the law till all is fulfilled. I just have a translation. I don't even have the original languages. I'm not reading to you in Hebrew, and you should be very thankful because I can't. I don't know how many of you are in the same boat as me. I'm thankful to have an English translation. I'm very thankful to God for men who gave their life to translate the Word of God into the English language. Thank you, Lord. To the degree that any translate accurately represents what God said, it is the Word of God. And Jesus said, not one jot, smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, or one tittle, a little mark, kind of equivalent to when we cross our T, it's very similar to that, not one of those will even pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Every word of God is pure, and you can live by it. And if you ponder, you search the Scriptures to find the answers, you are wise. And that's what the righteous do. May God encourage the hearts of His saints to get back into the Word of God to find answers. We need answers to a lot of things. They're all here in this book. Do you know that if God doesn't say a verse directly about it, there's more than two principles about it in His Word that you can bring to light on whatever it is, anything, everything. We have God's Word, and the righteous study it. One more principle, Proverbs chapter 14, the fourth principle. The fourth principle, Proverbs 14, 15. Number one, the righteous are discerning. They make judgments to know what's right and wrong, and they obey it. Number two, the righteous are very, very careful to receive wise counsel that's given to them. They value it. They want it. They receive good instruction from God's Word and from others who can give it. Number three, the righteous themselves ponder the Word of God to get the answer. So they know wisdom from God's Word. Number four, Proverbs 14:15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. The word looketh well here means to consider very carefully. It has the idea of it again to be discerning. It's a different word, but it has the idea of that. The righteous take time to think not about the problems that they're facing, the situations and the circumstances, but they take time to think about the direction their life is going. In other words, they're careful to plan and to make their plans and to prepare their plans because they're thinking very carefully about their life and they want to take time to think about the direction in which their life is going. And I just want to quickly, because of time, come to a quick application. Just one application from that thought. The righteous think very carefully about where they're going. That means they do not live by feelings and compulsion. I got to do it, I got to do it, I got to do it. The righteous don't live that way. They think very carefully and consider what will be the end of that action. They think about it. They think about their life. Should I do this? I got to think about the end and the outcome of this. Because God's Word has a lot to say about His will for our life, doesn't it? Principles in our life. They don't say, oh, I got to get it. I got to buy this. I got to buy that. I'm going to get that. Why? Because it makes me feel so good. That's not what the righteous do. But I'm here to tell you that's exactly what our culture is doing. Compulsion. As a matter of fact, if you heed my words, which are not mine, I hope you see they're God's word. If you heed God's word, we're being told that our culture in America is in big trouble because the economy can't last if you don't buy. I guess our economy needs to tank. I know everybody's looking at what's wrong with him. Don't worry. Capitalism is real, no matter what the socialists tell you. If you start thinking and planning carefully and saving, sooner or later they'll just start telling you, oh, that works too. Say, how do you know that? Because there were people in America in the past who understood the importance of the principles of God's Word. And they understood you don't get rich quick. It brings destruction. You work hard and you save. I don't have time to develop that. It's not my topic anyways. But to think about that's important. That's what the righteous do. They look to the Word of God for principles. Not buy. Spend. I got to do it because I'm helping my economy to be good. Foolishness. Work hard and save. And think carefully about how you spend your dollars. I wasn't planning to say that. All right, those are four traits of the righteous thinking. What about the wicked? Well, go back to chapter 12, in verse 5. Our original passage had the first opposite. The thoughts of the righteous are right, discerning, they make discernment. But the counsels of the wicked are deceit. They're deceiving, they're liars, they're deceitful. The wicked deceive others, and I want you to know something, they also deceive themselves. They do. Do you know the people who tell lies? It's not long before they themselves begin to believe those lies. Oh yes. Here's how it works. If I were to say to you, I got here this morning at 6 a.m. Pastor Perron showed up at Salem Bible Church at 6 a.m. Now some of you out there might say, wow, whew, he's dedicated. Whew, he's diligent. He was here at 6 a.m. That'd be maybe impressive. I know some of you might think, what's wrong with him? What's he doing here that early? He's all locked up. I got here at 6 a.m. Well, that's not the truth. I didn't get here at 6 a.m. I wasn't here. I'm not going to tell you where I was. But it's funny how someone says, oh, wait a minute, you were here at 6 a.m.? Yes, I was here at 6 a.m. I was riding my bicycle beside the parking lot. I didn't see your car anywhere. I was here at 6 a.m. and I didn't see you. Isn't that funny how that goes? Oh, boy. I got to come up with another lie. Don't I? Oh, yes. As soon as you tell a lie, it won't be long before you have to tell another lie. Well, I walked. I walked here today, and so I was here, and the building wasn't open, but I got under the shade of the tree. I was around back. You didn't see me. But I was here at 6 a.m. You see, as soon as you tell a lie, you got to tell a lie. It's not long before you have to tell another lie. And it's not long before you have to tell another lie. And sooner or later, you're beginning to tell so many lies, you can't even remember what the lies are and what the truth is. And when you say a lie loud enough and long enough, you know what our advertising agencies in America know today? People will believe it. Those who deceive end up themselves being deceived by themselves. That's the way the wicked, what they do. The wicked deceive and are full of deception. They make imaginations and plans. Turn to chapter 6. This will be a second way that are wicked. Proverbs chapter 6 in verse 18. Here's a list beginning in verse 16 where God tells seven things that he hates. They're an abomination to him. I kind of teased our Sunday school class. Does God hate? Does God hate? You know, our culture will tell you, no, God is always good. He never hates anything. You haven't read this book. God is good. You're right. And more than you have any understanding, God is good. But God hates. He tells us exactly what he hates and what's an abomination to him. Here's a list of seven. It's not the totality of the things that God hates. And notice right in the middle of it is verse 18, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. God hates that. People who think evil plans. God hates that. How they can gain an advantage at the expense or at the hurt or the devastation of others. Whether that advantage is monetary or to make them feel better somehow like they were right or to gain power. There's so many different reasons that people do wicked, horrible things. And God hates those who sit around and think about and come up with ways to do something else that's terrible. In chapter 1, Solomon warns his sons, don't gather together with those who are always thinking how they can take advantage of people doing evil things. The wicked think and plan evil thoughts. That's what they do. Mom and Dad, tell your children this. There are people out there who've embraced wickedness and they're thinking all the time about what they can do that's more wicked. Yep, yep. Look at chapter 14, Proverbs the third. I'm just showing to you three opposites of righteous thinking. Here's unrighteous thinking of the wicked. They deceive, they get deceived, they devise wicked plans, they sit around and think about it. And notice in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. What does this mean? It means the wicked are filled with their own selfish ways. Selfishness. The wicked are always thinking selfish thoughts. It's their own ways. It's all about me. What does our culture tell you you need to do? You need to look out for self. You're number one. You know what the Word of God says about that? It says more than one thing about it, but right here it says that's what the wicked think. And I'm here to tell you that's what God's Word says. That's bad to make myself number one. The Word of God tells us something else. Number one belongs to God and God alone. No one, no thing. God is number one. That's good. And that's wise to understand that. And that simple little acronym, I love when they taught this to me in Vacation Bible School. Do you want real joy? J is for Jesus, O is for others, and Y is for you. Third, oh, woe is me. That's just thinking based on human intellect, and it's devoid of an understanding. If I put God first, and I treat others better than myself, who's going to look out for you? God will take care of you. Isn't that a blessed truth? The wicked don't do that. They are full of their own selfish ways. They devise evil plans, and they deceive others and themselves. I want to show you Proverbs chapter 23. I opened with this. I said to you at the very beginning, so here I come full circle. I said to you, your thoughts establish who you are. And what you're thinking is shaping who you're becoming. What you are thinking right now is establishing what and who you're becoming. Be very careful. Be very careful. Here we have an illustration in Proverbs 23 in verses 6 and 7 of a wicked man who he's devising evil plans, he's thinking his own selfish ways, and he's involved in deception. And Solomon is writing to warn his children. Verse 6 of Proverbs 23, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. There's our principle. What he's thinking here in his heart tells you what he is. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Be careful. The wicked say things, but that's not what they mean. People deceive. Yeah, that's right. That's the way the wicked are. They deceive. They lie. And they're putting forth deceptions. You're sitting there saying, oh, I'm so glad he made this filet mignon dinner for me. I can't wait to dig in. And there he is sitting. Isn't this wonderful? Enjoy, enjoy. Have your fill. But he is counting every bite you take. He knows how much the dinner cost. He knows how much each bite you eat cost him. And he's calculated something. And he waits till you're all done. I belong to the clean plate club with this meal. No leftovers for anyone for this one. Thank you. Now that you've enjoyed that wonderful meal, here's something I'd like to do you to do for me. All of a sudden, that good meal feels so ugly. You'll wish you could vomit it up. Why? Because he had an evil intention. You had better know who the people are that you're dealing with before you give yourselves to them. That's what Solomon's trying to warn. But he tells us an important principle here, doesn't he? As he thinks in his heart, that's the way he is. Don't be deceived by his words. What he's thinking reveals to you who he is. And you can know. You can know. First of all, if you're just praying and asking the Lord for wisdom, counsel, God will lead you, guide you, and direct you. But be careful. This is an important principle. The way a person thinks in their heart, it reveals who they are, and it's establishing who they will be. Now, this is very important because of a principle that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. A good man, Matthew 12, 35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And, here's Proverbs 23, verses 6 and 7, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. Jesus said, your heart, your spirit, the inner person who you are, where your thinking goes on, is a storehouse of what you treasure in your life. That's right. What you're thinking is the storehouse of what you treasure. Let me explain to you what I mean. Let's think about what the Lord says. When a person values something, they will spend lots of time and energy on the thoughts that they spend on what they value. People who value a sports team, well, they'll listen to the games, won't they? Oh yeah, they'll listen to the games. They'll watch the games on television. They'll keep up with the latest statistics of their favorite players. They're very careful to read any news articles that were written about what player or fan that they are a fan of, whatever player. They want to know the news article. They buy magazines. They want to learn everything about those players. And they'll listen to the sports talk shows to hear about their favorite team and their favorite. What's going on? What happened? What are they going to do? They're consumed with it. And they buy the tickets to go to the event and all of that. That's what they do. That's what a person does who values a sports team. A person who values a music group or a rock band, well, they'll purchase the music of that band. They'll listen to the songs. They'll buy magazines to learn about the band, the players in the band. They want to know, what do they like? What do they wear? Where do they eat? Where do they go? Where will they be next? They're consumed with it because your heart is the treasure house of that. It's a storehouse of what you treasure. And people who like that, value that, will do that. Many people watch hours and hours and hours of television programs or movies of something that they're particularly interested in. There's a new phrase that exists in the last decade because it's not just in the movie theater. It's not just your DVD player in your home. Your computer can stream it. They make dozens, if not double dozens of podcasts on your computer. You can binge watch something now. I can watch a whole season in one night. Is that really good? You can do that today. People do it. What are they? It tells you what they value, though. Do you know what happens when you spend just 2 hours watching one movie? Just evaluate this sometime and find out how many hours you think about those 2 hours that you watched it. I've had to do this exercise for myself, because I do. I listen to programs or watch. I have to be very careful. You know what? People who spend hours watching a movie, they take 45 minutes to tell you about that. I wish they could take 2 minutes. But they need 45 minutes of my time to tell me the whole plot line and the details and everything, because that's all they've been thinking about. A good person, out of the good treasure of their heart, brings forth good things. An evil person, out of the evil treasure of their heart, brings forth evil things. Now, is everything I just gave an example of necessarily bad? Maybe not so. I gave the first one because I happen to like a sports team. I do. I value them. I'm guilty of most of the things that I shared on the list. But you know what? For the child of God, no team, no person, no thing can have place number one in your heart and life. God, that's for God alone. If God, our Heavenly Father, has given to Jesus Christ the place of preeminence, first place, do you know what He's calling us to do? Give Jesus Christ first place in your heart. And we have to be very careful, because 1 John chapter 2 tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know what all these things are doing? They're passing away in the lust of it. But he that does the will of God, you know what that is? It's forever. It's enduring. That's an important principle. What do you spend your time thinking about? It will tell you what you value in your life. So here's what I just want to tell you to do. Here's a little exercise. As a believer, we're told in God's Word that henceforth we are not to walk as the Gentiles walk anymore in the vanity of their mind, the emptiness. All these things can be empty and passing away. Doesn't mean they can't have a place of recreation or help, but they can't have first place. They should not take up all my thought life. Where is there room to think about God if all we do is watch programs or listen to our music? Or where's room for God? And if that's all we do, then be careful. We are shaping who we're becoming. Did you know that? As you think in your heart, so are you. And your thoughts establish who you are. So here's I want to ask the question, what do you treasure in your heart? What are you storing in your heart? And here's how to answer the question. I'd like you to take a moment, a few moments this afternoon, just 2 minutes. Do you have 2 minutes? Just 2 minutes. I know you can find 2 minutes, because if your favorite thing was going on, you'd have more than 2 minutes. Oh yes, we push things aside for what's important to us, don't we? Take 2 minutes this afternoon and write down in a notebook on a piece of paper, what did I spend my time thinking about yesterday? Just take a few minutes to write it down. It will reveal to you the amount of time that you spent on whatever it is you spent it on will reveal to you the treasure of your heart. This is what you think about. How about Friday? Well, if we get too far past Friday back to Wednesday, I don't remember well what I was thinking. So stick with Friday and Saturday. What did you think about? Write it down. What did you spend your time thinking about? Because if you take the time to do that, it will reveal to you the treasure of your heart. What do you spend time thinking about? Do this. Add to it. Ask yourself this question. After you write it down, ask yourself, is this the type of thing that God wants me to spend that much time thinking about, however much time I spent on it? Ask yourself this question. Is that pleasing to the Lord? Ask that. Do another thing. Take a few moments today to write a Bible verse that's especially meaning to you or encouraging to you. Take a time to write out a verse and just spend 1 minute. You can spend more. But take 1 minute just to think about that Bible verse. Do you know what you are doing when you take 2 or 3 minutes to think about a Bible verse? Write it out. Just think about that verse. What does it say? What does it mean? Where does it touch my life? What does it teach me about God? What does it teach me about myself? What does it teach me about God's will and way? You can ask all kinds of questions. You can write all kinds of things out. Do you know what you're doing? You are storing up treasure in your heart of the knowledge of God. If you take time. Now, if you say, I can't think of a verse, that's okay. If you can't, just open up to the Gospel of John, start in chapter 1, verse 1, and keep reading. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you won't go too far before God just blesses you with a verse of Scripture. He'll do that. Write that one down and spend a couple minutes thinking about it. Why? Because you will be storing up wonderful treasure in your heart whatever time you spend thinking about God and His things. The more you think about God, rightly about God, in His holy word, the more you develop wisdom, because the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Biblical wisdom. Those who store up and treasure in their hearts the knowledge of who God is, His will and His ways. You're developing wisdom in your heart. I want to close with this. Turn to Proverbs 15:3. I'm going to close with this morning. One last thought about your thoughts. I had to say that. Proverbs 15:13 for today. I think I just said 13. Proverbs 15, verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Do you know that God knows your thoughts? I said I would show that to you in God's word, and I did it. God's eyes are even in your heart. Oh, yes. The Proverbs tells us that the lamp of a man is the light of God revealing his heart. Do you know that? Your heart is a lamp. Your light, your heart is shining brightly to God, who you are, what you're thinking about, and God knows your thoughts. It's so important for us to address this issue. We cannot be careless about our thoughts. We have to be very proactive about our thoughts. Because do you know that Satan knows this principle than the average Christian does far better than they do? We are living in a time and a culture where there is a non-stop demand for your thoughts. Everywhere you go, there's music on, worldly music that does not lead you to be thinking. Everywhere you go, televisions are on. Programs are killing themselves to have more programs, episodes, more movies are being written. Just constant demand for your thoughts so that you just can't get alone and quiet and think about God. But the righteous are very careful to understand that principle and say, by God's grace, I want to treasure up in my heart thoughts of the knowledge of the Holy One, my Lord and God, that I might grow, that I might mature, and that I might begin to think in a righteous way. May God encourage our hearts. Let's pray. O Lord God and Heavenly Father, I pray that these words of wisdom will be taken to heart and help us to continually develop a disciplined, righteous thought life, that we might grow, that we might be wise, and that most of all, that we might honor you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.